Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. But you are watching us to the next.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Our song always messes up there. I am so happy that you're on the line today sharing our Friday fellowship of learners as we, the word from the word, look at the book, The Tongue, A Creative Hour by Charles Katz. It is February, and we are going through this book. To receive powerful truths that will transform the universe, not just us and those around us, but the earth and the creation of God, because He has given us that authority. And so we're in the last half of chapter 2, where we're looking at Christian sin. Christian sin. I thought it was very interesting. They make a reference to Christian science, because we are talking about health and God's intention for us concerning that. And I really wasn't that familiar with Christian Science. I just did a brief look up as it relates to it, and came up with the origin from a particular woman that wrote a book about an experience she had, basically. And they believed that Jesus was a good person, a man. They believe that we have, through science, the healing powers that are necessary to live a life that's disease-free and sickness-free. And so it's another aspect or instance where the world takes part of what God says and pervert it, because they change it, to give them the authority over something. Now, God gave us the authority, but they would like to believe that it was their power and knowledge of science that brings about this truth in their life. And so, as with most organizations or cults or whatever, it is based on someone that is, I will say, a mere mortal. And it changes from time to time, the standards that they live by. So as the world changes, their standards change, or part of their theology changes, if you will. And yet we accept that as a world to be okay, and the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever, who never changes, who always is faithful and true, they have a hard time relinquishing to him the honors that is due him. And we do too. So there is so much about our faith or lack of thereof that would indicate that is not always the condition of our hearts. The Bible tells us in many, many instances to surrender all to God. Love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And one of the prophets of the church talked about it Sunday, was to hold fast to the knowledge of God. Hold fast to the truth. And it was such a simple yet powerful word, because we think we're holding fast when oftentimes we're going from item to item, testing it, seeing if it'll work and give us what we want. And if it doesn't, we go to the next thing or the next phase or the next fad or the next trending thing. And we always are leaning to our own understanding, or rather the cultural understanding that we have gotten from our environment. And so we must come to a place where every area of our life we have surrendered it to God and have applied his truth to that area of our life. And so we ended up last week where he was sharing with us that we have all things that pertain to life and holiness. We have all things, and we have those things through his divine power. He has given us his divine power. The book started in Genesis to set the foundation so that we could get a realization and revelation of in the beginning, and to understand how we flow in parallel and in harmony to in the beginning. And so it says that we will grow and we our faith will grow with knowledge of God. So getting that knowledge and understanding of what God did in the beginning and then shortly thereafter with man.
Don't really know what they're supposed to be doing and who they're supposed to be aligned with.
So we want to make sure that what we do with the knowledge of God. And then to understand that as we go, I love the way the author shares with us. He said, now, it didn't say that we will automatically, when we're born again, that it automatically dominates our body, but it doesn't. That is where a lot of folks have it all squirreled up. So in other words, it's not like that, and that gets people all tangled up, running around trying to make decisions and come up with a truth. But it says when they are born again, they thought their bodies got saved. They thought their head got saved. Later, they want to do some things that are wrong after they were born again. And so the devil says, well, if you're saved, you wouldn't want to do that. You must not have received anything. You must not have been saved, or you wouldn't have thought those thoughts. Well, we have news. We have good news. It says our head didn't get saved. Our body didn't get saved. Our spirit was born again. We were created the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus with God on the inside. And that's the part that we usually just run through without stopping and getting the revelation of this. We were created the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ with God on the inside. Now, the Spirit of God must permeate outward, and the spirit man must bring the body into subjection to the spirit. You have to mortify your deeds of your body in order to go to church or to study the Bible or to really even help people or to discipline yourself. You literally have to mortify your flesh and your body to go along with your spirit man that has been born in the image of Christ Jesus. Your body does not always want to do those things. Your spirit, that your spirit will do. For the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary to the one and to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So here we have that Paul statement, things that I would do, I don't do, and the things I don't do, I would do. And it's like, oh, woe is me. What am I to do? And so many people get in that spot and they stay there. Whereas the rest of what Paul says, but grace and glory to God, you know, because he understood this. He had a process that was available to me, and he made it mine by giving us his son. He made it ours by embracing his truth as we study his word, as we take our faith that God gave us, which is all we need, because he gave us the measure of faith that's necessary. And then he ended up having to tell his disciples when they said, you know, help our faith. He said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you think God only gave you, you know, just enough but not enough? No, he gave you all you need. And it's not going to look like this big, huge thing. It can be the faith of a mustard seed, but what it's going to produce is going to be amazing, because it's going to be something that you have no control over, nor do you have insight as to how this is going to look. But you don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. And so you will create with what you say and do and believe that which is supposed to be heaven on earth. You know, the will of the Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are partakers of the divine nature of God. And remember, we were in Genesis, and we saw what that nature looked like, what that nature did, the power and the character of the God of all creation. And with words, he created, and he's giving us that authority. And now he's teaching us how to grow in that authority. So though we have it, we have to become familiar with how to use it. Otherwise, we will use it to our own detriment and not to his glory. And so as we stay and get that knowledge of God, it is what navigates that faith that he gave us. And so the knowledge of God will teach our faith what to expect and what to look for, what to relax in, what to rest in, what to depend on, how to trust. And so those are all in areas that we're not familiar with, but now we know we don't have to be familiar and we don't have to figure it out ourselves. We can use that faith that he gave us, that measure of faith that he gave us, so that we might trust and wait and then watch him do what he has already planned to do. Because remember, he knows the plan that he has for us. When he created us, when he allowed us to come forth, before we came forth, he put in our DNA everything that we needed physically. And he, with Christ, he put in everything we need spiritually for all things. So there is not a thing that we're going to face that we are not prepared to face it like Christ faced it. And so to understand that like Christ, we have to do what the scripture tells us, learn of him. Never stop learning of Christ, because it is what forms our response to life when it comes at him. So we want to understand this Christian sense is a new way of thinking. It's a Christ-like way of thinking. And so he gives us an example, full example, of the power of the tongue and how it is to be yielded. He shares this stuff, quite a few scriptures that we're just going to look at today. And it says, this is in James, third chapter, 1 and 2, my brethren, be not masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we are offended all. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now they share it in the Amplified. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a fully developed, perfect man, able to control his own body and to curb his natural, and to curb his entire nature. Verse 3 says, if we set bits in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole body around. And a horse is a massive animal, very powerful animal. They actually created cars based on the power of a horse. So they are massive, massive creatures, but he lets us know this little device, almost like a denture, but not quite, if you put it in his mouth, then you can direct all of that massive power. And that's what he's sharing with us. That little bitty tongue, when we control it, will allow us to develop as perfect men and with character of Christ, men or women. Hold on. So, when he gives this illustration, when he uses illustration out of the Bible, he also uses the one from the ship, and he shares that, and he says, "Behold, also the ship, which though they be so great are not driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor lists. Even so, the tongue is a small member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a small fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So in the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and set up on fire the course of nature, it is set on the fire of hell." So that course of nature, in other words, that tongue has the ability to override what the Spirit is teaching you through the knowledge of God. And what it does when you say it, because of the authority you have, then you establish it because of who you are. And this is why it's so important to understand the authority that God gave us, and then to continue with the instructions that he gave us, so that with the knowledge of God, we can use those tools and those weapons of our warfare properly for a victorious life. As we set the bit in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ship, though they are great, tons and tons and tons of material, and yet you can change the direction it goes by this tiny little rudder that's at the back, like a little thing that flaps open and closes, goes in different directions. And in that, it causes the whole ship to follow it, no matter how great a wind the ship is in. And yet it is the thing that directs the whole boat, the whole object, this one little thing. And that is the traitor of what the tongue does for our body. And we can use that tongue to make our body go in the direction that the Word of God says we should go in. And so we need to understand that those scriptures, when it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight," let it be in harmony with your word, because it is your authority that we are yielding. And as we yield it forth, it is to be transformative in the natural, because the spirit man is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so when that fire or that tongue is released in excellence, then it brings about the whole body in subjection. It speaks and says to your thought, it speaks and says to your mind, it speaks and says to illnesses and sicknesses in your body, in your emotions, in your past. That tongue can speak and say with authority and create in you that new creature that was promised. But we have to use that tongue, because that is the pen that writes our story. That is the pen. The tongue is the pen of a ready writer, someone that's ready to write according to the word of God. He wants it on their heart. Write it on my heart so that it can come forth from my mouth and establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And the only way to make that establishment is through our testimony. He said they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and then by the testimony of the saints. And so it is a two-part. One part is the blood, and he's done what it's supposed to do. And the second part is our testimony, our tongue declaring the witness thereof of the blood of Jesus Christ and what it has brought into the earth realm. He brought it, but we must testify to it and spread it abroad through our conversation. We're going to turn this whole massive ship around, this powerful horse around to do what is divinely ordained to come forth in the earth realm because we've understood the power of our tongue. We understand also that the tongue is a world of wickedness. It just doesn't come right on its own. It has to be reborn by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. The power of that tongue to do that comes from the understanding of the knowledge of God. When you understand the knowledge of God, then we know we are saved. And what are we saved from? You know, my body is not saved. My mind, I love the way he put it. We expect these physical appendages, if you will, to walk in holiness. They won't. They can't. They're flesh. They are corrupt. And that's not even what goes to heaven. But what will is the spirit man. And it must have its strength over the flesh. It has the strength over the flesh, but we must exercise that flesh. Flesh, exercise, no, not the flesh, but that faith and that spirit. So often we look at things and we get discouraged by things and we get frustrated by things. That's because we're looking with our eyes and not understanding with our heart, and as a result of changing our conversation about the thing. So he shares how, and I am sure he goes into this, the area of sickness, of healing, which is where they were going as related to Christian Science, because they feel that there's a science to our wholeness. And yet it's not a science. It is a gift of God, and it comes in the form of Jesus Christ. But when you talk about sickness and disease, and we have released words that were produced after themselves. Back to Genesis, and the seed was put in the earth so that whatever is produced from its own seed. And that seed was the word of God when God said, let there be. And it was, and it was seeds that were planted in the earth realm to bring forth light creation. And so we have to do that. And when I was reading this, I remember so very vividly how my mom used to always say, my diabetes or my high blood pressure. And, when she said it, it just broke my heart because I knew she was suffering from many things. But they were hers. And it's like, I don't want it. I mean, But how often do we, without knowing, we claim these things, which is then why it just becomes just a loop that you can't get out of because we've cursed ourselves. We have used the authority in our tongue to cause our ship to wreck in illness and in sickness and in despair in so many things. And there may be things that look despairing, but the point in our life is that we don't walk by what it looks. We walk by the faith of God. And there's nothing in the Word of God that's despairing except for the soul that leaves this earth without having proclaimed Christ as their Savior. But everything else about the Word of God is a place of worship, of praise, of, if you will, positivity. And it's a word of power. There's power in what's in the Word. And when we declare what's in the Word, and remember, when we make this declaration, we have to make it believing it. And so the Word, you know, they say pray the Word. Yes, pray the Word, but live out the Word as you co-sign with what God has said, no matter what the world or how it may look. And you are determined that the spirit man is going to rise over and above what you see with your eyes. So it may really suck. However, you know what God said, so you don't have to have that spirit of depression or that spirit of the hopelessness or defeat. You can always have spirit of victory and of power and of rejoicing because your spirit man and your the faith that God gives us, we exercise it over the natural and we turn that ship around. We make that horse go where we want it to go, where God has decided it needs to go. And so we do that with our conversation, with our tongue. We create, it says, create in me a clean heart. You know how we create in us, he creates in us a clean heart? By putting his word in our mouth, and we declare it. And that's why they say it out loud so you can hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so what we see is the process that God has established so that we can have the perfected body. You know, at the beginning, it's that at those that do not stumble as an offense or by saying the wrong thing, their character and their body. Amen. So we looked at Peter and different individuals in the Bible that made conversation, that had conversation that brought some negative things in their life. And we look at Peter, and Peter was famous for speaking out of turn and causing offense. In other words, saying something that was not in harmony with God. And no, he said it with good faith. He said it believing that he understood what he was talking about, though he didn't. And he said it with what he thought was in his heart. You know, but it says, you know, the heart is deceitful among all things. And all of these things have to be navigated with this rudder that's the word of God, so that it overcomes the nature, the old nature. The one scripture says that tongue sets in fire the course of nature. In other words, the course of who you were born to be, not who you were born again to become. And so we have to understand that with Peter, his conversation was always getting him in trouble, establishing around him situations and circumstances that did bring sadness into his life, regret into his life, shame into his life, all came from his conversation that wasn't in line with the word of God. And every time Christ corrected him or warned him, and he just didn't feel Christ was right. So he was, he was putting his own ideas ahead of Christ. So he's actually telling the creative word, no, you, the world, you're not right. That's not going to happen to you. And he, the God of glory, knows all things. We're going to tell him what it's going to be like when we don't have a clue. And that's just what we do. Anytime we don't trust, anytime we don't exercise that faith that he gave us, we are saying we don't trust what you said or your idea or your plan for my life. And we know you got one, you know, and we can flat out come and say, and many have, I just don't like the plan that you have for my life. Okay. Well, then we don't understand the knowledge of God that your creation was so that his plan could work. He didn't have a plan so that you could work. No, his plan so that his reasoning was so that his plan could work, because he knows the perfection of his plan. He knows what's ahead. He understands not just heaven, but he also understands hell. And he understands it to a point where in his love, he doesn't want any of us to go there. And so he did everything that was possible so that we don't have to make that our destination. And yet, we keep telling him, no, I want to do it this way. And he's saying, no, that road leads to destruction. And we don't believe him. And we take the road anyway. And then, with our tongues, we come and we say, I'm sorry, help me out of this. He's such a loving, faithful God. And yet, we have to understand, even when we say that, if we don't have a knowledge of who God is, he requires holiness. He doesn't just require repentance. He requires holiness. He requires us to fear him, to understand what that means, understand to reverence him, to worship him. Because until we do, we're not going to obey him. And the obedience is not going to be to our account positive. It's just going to be works that are going to be burnt up. But when we do it because we love him and we come to understand, oh, this is his will for me because of his love for me. Okay? Then we get on his side. We start co-signing what he says. We start agreeing. I'm going to agree with God because he knows my future. He knows what's ahead. And he's planned it, and he said it is not going to bring me any sorrow. So if sorrow comes from me not understanding where I am in this moment in God's plan. So that means I got to close my eyes and I just got to trust and believe. I got to take his word, take him at his word. In other words, take his word, put it in my mouth and declare it so that my mind and my emotions and my heart and my thoughts will line up with what Christ has said so that I become that perfect character, that character that is mature, that character that has received. So when Peter, we were talking about Peter before Pentecost, and then Peter after Pentecost started to just declaring things that changed the world before he was rebuked. And it affected him physically and emotionally. But after Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to be his guide, his correction, his power and authority, to give him the understanding about the knowledge of God that he needed, so he took all of that time together with Christ. When the Holy Spirit came, he gave Peter an understanding of it. He had a revelation about it, and he developed, he took that faith that was given him and developed it into a weapon against the world that was against Jesus Christ. And then he started speaking things, and things happened. He spoke on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came. I know sometimes we wonder what kind of power comes with that. It's the power of faith. It's believing and agreeing with God, being totally persuaded that what God has said is that's it and that's all. And so he said that, and then he healed the sick. He said, what I have, I give to you. But I know I have the authority in my voice because I know God and I know Christ, and he came to heal and to save. And so get up and walk. I believe that. And not only do I believe it and I say it, I'm going to act on it. So he put his hand out to help the man stand up. I'm co-signing what God is releasing in your life. And I am here to, you know, where your faith isn't, mine will be in the gap there. And the man got up and walked. And he got a revelation of God through the life and the actions and the words of Peter. And that's what happened. Peter turned his voice, his words, his tongue, started turning the world, actually. Even the enemy said they turned the world upside down. Who are these people? Who are they? They are those that understood the power and the authority in the word of God and in their voice to release it in the earth realm so that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom and God's purpose was Jesus Christ coming to seek and to save, not just to save, because it was not God's will that any man should perish. So there wasn't a place that Christ didn't go, because he was seeking to release salvation in those places. Now, there were places he went, they didn't want him, and they rejected him. And so, but it wasn't that God rejected them. They rejected God, because God sent his son there in the midst, and then had them stay there in the midst, okay, trying to persuade or releasing a word of truth over them so that they could be transformed. But they did not receive it. Their ears wouldn't hear because they were full of the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and they wanted the fame and the attention, and they wanted to be the ones that they wanted to be God. They were just like Satan. They felt like, no, they can honor us. I mean, after all, look at our outfits and, you know, look at where we are, and we sit on these covenant positions, and we rule, and we even tell the Romans what to do. And so they were so full of themselves. And so as a result, they were exercising their flesh. And when they exercised their flesh became very strong, to the point where it influenced people to do some horrific things. And so they, with their tongue, they turned a whole crowd of people, the same crowd that was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, they crucified him, with the tongue of someone else who released creatively a curse. And it took God to reverse the curse in Christ as he rose him from the dead to break that curse. Okay. So we'll pause right here and give you opportunity to share your inspiration, questions.
Hello. Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
When you were speaking, when you were speaking about the mind, and I don't know in detail all of what you were, I mean, I heard what you were saying, but what I want to say regarding what we put in our thoughts, in our mind, it controls every aspect of our life. and we have to speak positive so that that negative won't come and take away from what we know the Word of God says. And it always have to, if it's what I'm learning, and I'm only speaking for myself, when I, if any thought comes, you have to bring it, I think it says in the Bible to bring it under captivity, but you have to not allow that spirit. As soon as you hear that negativity, you have to bring the Word of God, the truth of the Word. And it makes a difference in that thought. Anything that come into our mindset, our imagination, we have to bring it down. We have to bring it down. And I'm learning that even more. Don't put nothing in the atmosphere. Even if someone wrong you, show love to them, but don't speak negativity on them. You might say, Lord, you handle that situation that just occurred, but don't allow that spirit to become your spirit, whether it be family, loved ones, friends, whatever. And it has made a difference. I got on late because I didn't even realize it was time, but I did get a lot from what you, when I did get on, everything you said, and I just thank God for what he pours into you and give us a new way of thinking, because we don't want to have a thinking, but thinking of God and the way he wants us to live and to speak his word. So to God be the glory. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for that insight and for that share and that testimony. And as you were speaking, it reminded me of the fact that so often we said things that were a curse for other people. And that's not what we really meant. But the enemy deceived us into thinking it was okay to say that. That's one of the things I believe happens with foolish jesting. That's why I believe it's a sin, because you're actually saying it, and they give it authority, and they're just like the spirits attached to your words to bring it to pass on behalf of the kingdom of God. So does the spirits of the devil are waiting to get that word, because that's us just like being back in the garden giving the enemy our authority. It's us handing it over. They gave an example in the book where it said when something happened to some young man and the conversation was, "Ooh, you poor thing." And I know that I have said that, but that's a curse. You're not poor. You're greatly loved. You're rich in Christ. You may not know it yet, but you are. But I spoke poverty. I spoke that mentality of poverty, because I judged it with my own natural set of standards. I didn't see them the way God sees them. I saw them with natural eyes. I didn't have faith that they would change. I didn't have the insight to believe that God is powerful enough anybody in any circumstance and perfect them. And I have to see it that way in order to say it that way and agree with God for it to make a difference. Now I believe that as we declare it, as we see it, not that it's just like, I know that there were times when we had the altar call and the same person kept going back up, going, "Oh, they're coming back up." That's a word curse. So, yep, they're going to come back up again and again and again. But declare what God would have us declare, or say nothing, but to say, "Lord, let them find what they're looking for and let them embrace it, you know, and let it grip them," that's like hold fast, "and then let it transform them." But that's not really what we sit and do. If we are paying attention even at all. and it is our job to be on the gate as gatekeepers. So when these things are happening, when life is happening, our job is to see here, put the word of God on that, put the word of God on that. You know, seek fasting and praying to put the word on God on that. You know, and that's not what we do. We put our mouth on it according to our righteousness and our judgment, which is why those hard conditions were so easy to become a part of the early church. You know, you need a heart that's non-judgmental, a heart that's not that seeks for the glory of God. And so these things are so easy to slip into, which is why these things, and, you know, if we keep them as a priority in our life, in some kind of form of studying and digesting them, then our conversation will just naturally flow so it can turn that boat around. And it's more than a boat, it's a ship. Turn that ship around in families that have generational curses. Turn the ship around with our words, because our words have authority, and they have creative power to create the kingdom of God in the family lineage, in the life of, in the community, in the state, in the legislature, wherever, on every mountain that has some level of authority and influence in the life of any and everybody. Amen.
Yes.
Anybody else? We pray this book is having some use that God would have it to have. As you read it, I tend to try to read it because I know that some people don't have it, so I kind of go through it so that the bulk of what's in it you definitely get during the program in the morning.
Overseer, do they, because I think last week I missed it because I think I was in Georgia or whatever, but my... is it able to play back, and do you, or could you, if it is, that you can be able to listen to it?
Yeah. Actually, all of the, every word from the word ever produced is in the archive.
And okay, I know it used to be, so will you send me the information?
Well, you know what, it's just, do you ever... sign on to Blog Talk Radio?
Not in a long time. I probably forgot. But.
Okay, I'll oversee Marlette, because it's just Blog Talk Radio, LSC something, and it'll bring up all of our study.
Oh,
from
great.
Every
Thank you.
Blog Talk program that LSC has ever done is on here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Well, see, I appreciate everything that you were saying, because you're correct. It's very easy in the midst of our frustration or, you know, just quick stuff. You can be driving, you know, somebody crossed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy. We do it so normally without thinking that we have to really realize that even we say, oh, that person, they acting like they stupid. Even though we Christians,
yep.
We say we don't, but we do. And we have to realize,
yep,
a lot of times people are sitting up here living out word curses that have to be recognized and canceled and off of their lives, and then have to come into the knowledge, like you said, of the truth to be able to cast down those vain imaginations and bring those things subject unto, you know, the knowledge of God and cancel those things out. So I appreciate everything that you stated. I don't have the book. I haven't been following along because a lot of times I'm knocked out around this time, being up half the night. But I really thank God when I'm able to be on. You know, it's one thing I really do appreciate about the ministry is the worship and the word. you know.
Amen.
And it is really, it brings it to our practice. I don't know if I say the word right, but it makes it where you can apply it more, because a lot of times you're growing up, well, just do this, just do this, just do that. And you're looking at it, and sometimes I'm looking at people, I'm like, okay, I understand you, I heard you the first time, but huh? Because it's like it's the way the stuff come at you, but then when you break it down, it's like, oh, okay.
Mm.
All right.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? It draws
yeah.
you more towards the word than repels you from it. People automatically think, oh, I'm repelled because. No. Sometimes I'm trying to hear you, but you're sitting on me. And I
mm-hmm.
need, but you know, I need that word, because I know I'm running back to God. So many times I didn't run from it. And my thing is, when we see those things, it's easy, because we are human. Not giving a human thing to just, how you say, I may not say it the right way, I'm trying my best here. Not giving that an excuse, but to keep running back to God. Because, see, I'm one that when I would get angry, I would say, I didn't do too much. And I would get off into that condemnation. I thank God that he even had a Jehovah's Witness say, baby, don't ever run from him. Run to him. He knew what you was thinking before you said it, before it came into your mind. He knew what you was going to do. Run to him. Do not go away from him. Do not fall by the tricks and schemes of the enemy.
Right.
Don't give to that. To him. If you got to come to him weeping and crying, run to him. He loves you. He knows you by name. He called you. He chose you. He's in love with you. He wants you. He just don't want us in that sin. He don't want us in the thing to separate us from him. So thank you very
yeah.
much. And thank God, most and foremost. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend.
God bless you. Thank you. Powerful yes. insights and truths that are just applicable for our everyday conversation. And he just wants us to start to hear what we say before we say it and think about it. And think about the motivation behind what we're saying. One of the things that the sister shared was the fact that, you know, it's just common when you're driving and things like that. And I was taken back to a time when life was simpler, and either it wasn't as many people out driving, but people weren't as uptight, and they were in such a hurry. And so there wasn't as many negative things said out while people are driving, okay? They really did just take drives to enjoy the world, enjoy outside, and, you know, leisurely drives. That's what happened 40, 50, 60 years ago. That's what families did. And the time was a calmer time. But in this generation, in this time, everything is instant rush. I don't have time, you know. It's like, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And so as a result, we don't enjoy the beauty around us, and we end up releasing a curse around us with the conversation in our mouth. We grumble and we complain about everything. We see the bad in everything. And then we release it and give it more power by discussing it with other people, making it bigger and bigger and bigger. So then we wonder, why is everything so pervasive? Why is it everywhere you go, that's what you see? Because everywhere we go, that's what we say. And because we say it, and I don't mean now that, you know, it's a lot of killing of young people, so we're against this and we're against that. No, the problem has already been created. So they're acting out what we have said. And just as the sister shared, you know, these are curses that need to be called back. These are major intercessory teams that need to come together to reverse some things that we've done. And then the major teaching teams that should come together to teach what it is we should be doing. Major preaching teams to spread the word for what has happened and how to correct it. You know, these are individuals that are needed, as you say, to allow people to learn they can run to God and not from God, because when they ran to God, they saw us, and we have to repent. Just like the cupbearer, he repented for all the generations that came before him. Now, he could say, I didn't do anything, but he was a part of the generation. And if not positive, then you are part of the problem. And that's what we've been. We've done nothing, which really made us a part of the problem, because our task, the calling on our life was to be a witness. But we weren't. And then when we were a witness to their condemnation. Oh, they're going to hell because they're doing this. Or did you see that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All this negative words going to them that create an environment for them to shrivel up and die. And that's what we've done. And so now we need to reverse that. We need to, as they say, reverse the global warming. Okay? We need to change some things so it gets back in the order that the Creator had for it. And so we just want to make sure that we are found in a place where we have surrendered to God, that we are embracing the revelation that He's giving us, and we are adjusting to how it is to change and transform our lives and our conversations, where we can hear things and we hear them and they should be an offense to you and you should say something. When it's not an offense or you don't say anything, then you're on the side that is not God's side, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And then, as Minister Hearn said, yeah, but the other part of that says, by the word of your testimony. And I think at that point, I don't know how people had not heard that part of the scripture. You know, and it's like, oh, we just X out what we need to do. We just, you know, it's all on the blood. It's on the blood. But the blood came so that we would have all things for holy living. And we will be able to live out the power of the blood and release it on the earth everywhere we go. So praise God, praise God. Wonderful session. Anybody else? Don't hold back. All right, well, we will go into chapter 3. And I don't think anything is going on this weekend, except for those that go to laborers, make sure you get your bag of transition that was in your brown bag and put in it what you don't want to take, or put in it what you do want to take. Transition to the next, to the next. God bless you. God bless you. Enjoy, obey, know, and embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
God bless you and we love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen.